Begin the current top, Mesechtes Ba Metzia, Daf Kuf Yud Dalet. Begin on the second line down by the top of the Amud, where the Gemara continues the discussion from the previous Daf, where the Gemara had mentioned in the Braisa qualifying some of these halachas that we're discussing in these Mishnayis regarding the halachas of Mashkin, that is when the lender lends something to a borrower, and then he's now a debtor, he owes him money, and if he doesn't pay up, then the lender goes and he takes a mashkin, he takes collateral, takes security, because the guy can't pay up, so he takes an object. So there are certain parameters for that halacha. So on that, the Braisa had said, which the Gemara ultimately said is totally in the machlekes in our Mishnah, if we are mesadrin l'machlev, which is, that is, when you take away someone's stuff, because he can't pay up, so they come into his house, you start bringing a truck, taking out all the stuff, and what, you leave him with nothing? So that's the machlekes, that was the discussion, if we're mesadrin l'machlev, do we leave him as basic minimums, let's say, for the next 12 months, that he could survive? He needs a bed, he needs a bedspread, he needs certain things. That's the question, are we mesadrin l'machlev, certain basic necessities that he needs to have? So and that's why Gemara continues and says, Iboilud. The following question, meaning coming out with the halacha. What is halacha? Do we organize for a creditor the basic needs that he needs? People need clothing, they need certain things, and anything beyond that they'll take for the collections of his debt which was not paid. In other words, the question is, Migamar Micha Micha Mi'erichin. Do we learn Gzereshav from the halachas of Eirichin? Eirichin is when the person takes an Eirich vow, certain type of hektish where he says that, where the Torah sets a certain amount for the gender, for the age. When a person says, I want that Eirich of that person on me to pay the hektish. So by the halachas of halva, by a lender and a borrower, it says, when your brother will become poor, and his hand will reach to you, you have to provide for him, which is you give him a loan, and then that's where the halachas are taking a mashkin from him. So it says the word micho with it, meaning yamach, that he'll be poor. So to by erich, and it says, if he's too poor from his erich vow, so then we have these halachas of hesegad, of diminishing the amount that he has to pay, which again is this halacha also that we're misadrin like. We, by erich, and we say that we say, okay, basic, your basic necessities, even though you can't pay the vow, that we don't take away from you. So the question is, do we learn the gzeir shavah from erichin, and to say that we're misadrin by bachayv, because it says here also the term yamuch, or do we not learn this gzeir shavah? Says the Gemara Tashma, come in here, we'll bring a raya, lamaisa, how we'll see the answer to this question. As the Gemara says, the Shalach Ravin Bigarte, Ravin had sent in his letter as follows. He says, Davar Zer Sha'alti L'chol Rabbeis. He says, this thing, this question, if we learn Gzeir Shavav Micha Micha from Erichin or not, says, I asked this from all my teachers, V'loi Amrli Davin, they didn't tell me anything. Barum, he says, but, however, Kachais Shaila. This was the question. In other words, there was a different question asked in the Beis HaMidrash, and from that you could learn that you're not misogyn, that you don't organize and set aside the basic needs of a creditor who is having all his stuff taken away as collateral. You don't go ahead and you put away stuff for him. That, he doesn't have those rights. How do you know this? Because there was a following question that was asked. Ha'imer ha'reolai mana lebedek abayis. If someone says, it's upon me the responsibility of giving a mana, which is a certain amount of money, to the bedek abayis, which is the upkeep of the Beis HaMidrash. Now, this halach of hesag yad, which is only how much a person could attain right now at this point, and we ascertain that and we evaluate him, and that's all we require him to give, even though it's not the amount of what he had vowed, that halacha was only said by Erichin. But other hektashes, where like here, where he's just taking responsibility to hektash, there is no halacha of hesag yad, of what his hand attains. In other words, so therefore, what he has, we collect from him right now, and the excess, which he hasn't paid up yet, so we collect from him at a later point in time, if and when he becomes wealthy. In contrast, by Erichin, whatever you could give now, and that's it. Even if you become wealthy later on, you don't have to give it. But you don't have that by regular hektash, like in the case we're discussing. So the question is, mahu sheyusadru? So what's halacha? Do we organize for him, the one who took this neder to bedek abayis, when they're going to come to take collateral, take a mashkin from him, to take this security? What's the halacha? Do we leave him stuff? Because on the one hand, we see that we don't have these exemptions like we have by Erichin regarding hektash. So maybe the same thing would apply, that we would not be masadir from, we take everything he has, even though we leave him with nothing. Or are we masadir? That was the question that was posed regarding hektash. So Rabbi Yaakov Mishmei de Bar Pada, Rabbi Yirmi Mishmei de Ilfa Amri, they both said, we could answer our question from a kavochemer, from a creditor, which is, and if we find by a creditor that the lender is commanded to return the collateral to the borrower. That's the whole halacha that we're discussing in the previous tafim about hashavas ha'avik, returning the collateral, the security, to the borrower when he needs it. And yet, ein misadrin, still, we don't organize to leave over the borrower anything. In other words, for example, as according to the opinion of Shimon Gamliel, who that's the opinion that we had said, after 30 days, when you sell off all his things, then you don't leave him anything. You totally liquidate everything that he has. In spite of the fact that you see that there are certain requirements of giving back the borrower stuff that he needs, which is when he needs a garment at night, you give it back to him at night. Needs it the day, you give it back to him at day. But that's only after 30 days. If after 30 days when we sell off his stuff, then we leave him nothing. So then Hekdesh, Shein Machzirin. So regarding Hekdesh, where when they take something from somebody because he owes it to Hekdesh, they don't give it back to him. So Ein Adin Shein Misadrin says these two opinions, obviously, that for sure they're not going to have the requirement of organizing and making sure he has the basic needs. If Baal Chayiv, who returns, not Misadr, for sure here, you don't Misadr in the first place. Whereas Rabbi Yechon Amar, he disagrees. He says, no, because Neder Be'erkecha Ksiv, there's a pasuk in Yikuch of Zion that says, Ki afli Neder Be'erkecha Nefashas, when you will pronounce the vow of your Erech, of the soul. Now, the words in the pasuk compare the word neder and be'erkecha. So you have a hekesh between vows, which is any neder to hekdesh, and erechen, which says Rabbi Yechonan that comes to teach you that ma erechen misadrin, just like be'erechen, where that's the source of this halacha, that misadrin, that we organize the basic needs of this person who owes the money, that we don't take it away from him, of hekdesh misadrin, so to be'hekdesh you are misadrin. Now, but one thing that we see from this discussion, so they're discussing regarding what's the halacha of hekdesh misadrin. Do you compare it to erechen or do you not? But one thing we see, that one of the opinions that say that you're not misadrin, how do they know that from? From a Kavol Chaymer, from Baal Chayiv. That what? By Baal Chayiv, where you're machzirin, you're not misadr. Oh, so hekdesh, you're sure not misadr. The other opinion is not disputing that. They're just saying that you know from a hekesh to erichin that you are misadr. But one thing we see is that can answer our question, that by Baal Chayiv, we're not misadrin. And obviously that means to say that we don't learn the gzeir shava, micha micha, from erichin, and that when the creditor owes the money, when the debtor owes the money after 30 days, when we sell it all off, we leave him with nothing. Now, but the Gemara continues this discussion that v'idach, so we have Rabbi Yechonan's opinion that says the word ned be'erkecha comes to teach you that you are misadrin because you're comparing nidarim, which includes a vow to hekdesh, to erichin, which you're misadr, so too by hekdesh you're misadr. Whereas the other opinion, that is Rabbi Yaakov and Rabbi Yirmiyah, hahu, they actually say that, no, this hekesh, this comparison of a neder to erichin, is coming to teach a different halacha. That's lenidin b'chvaydehu da'asa. That is to evaluate something according to its higher standard. In other words, if someone says that the value of my heart, or of my head, or of my liver is incumbent upon me, that value to hekdesh, so then he has to give his entire body's value to hekdesh. Now, but if he says, regarding a limb that the soul does not depend on, he says, I want to give that value to hekdesh, then we evaluate him like a slave that's sold in the marketplace. For example, let's say a hand. A person could survive without a hand. So we evaluate how much is the hand worth, how much is a slave worth with a hand and without a hand, and that difference is how much the value of the hand is. So it's regarding that concept that we compare and learn out the halachas of neder from erichin, because that halacha is actually derived from the topic of erichin. Because by erichin, it's where it says erkecha nefashes. It's when you're giving the value of a person's soul. In other words, that means to say, if someone says, "I want to give the erich," which is the evaluation of a person's limb that his soul depends on, then he has to give the entire value of that person. But if let's say he says, I want to give the erich of that person's hand, then he hasn't said anything, because the halachas of erich only applies to the nefesh, to the person's lifeblood depending on that. So that's what the comparison of ned be'erkecha is coming to teach according to this opinion, which is ma erichin nidin mechvaydeh, just like by erichin, that you evaluate according to the covet, which means to say the heaviness of the thing. In other words, only a limb which it depends on, that is, if his neshama is dependent on that limb, then you give the value of the whole thing by erichin, and if not, you don't give anything. So av hekdesh nidin mechvaydeh, so to by hekdesh, you also evaluate accordingly, which is, if you're saying the person's head or his heart, you don't just give the value of the heart, because the whole body depends on the heart. You give the entire person's value. In contrast, when you say that person's, when you give the damim of that person's hand, you only give how much the hand is, which is not worth as much as obviously as the whole entire person. That's what we learn out from that halacha, but not that to say that you compare it regarding the halachas of misadrin. Again, that was their machlekes, but we brought this in because we wanted to reflect and show that from Baal Chayv, at least, that you're not mesadrin. But now the Gemara asks on this halacha that b'yisadrin b'Baal Chayv. But either way, let everyone agree that you would be mesadrin, that to organize the basic needs by the halachas of a creditor collecting from his debtor, from the borrower, kavochem erichin. It should be learned from kavochem and from erichin. Because of ma erichin she'imach zirin, when the person takes an erich vow, and hektish comes and collects where the guy can't pay, so okay, we're going to take your dresser, we're going to take your car, we're going to take other things from you. Now, hektish doesn't return it when that guy needs it at nighttime or daytime. They don't return it. The halach is only was said by Bachayv. And yet, misadrin, still that's where the halach is learned out, that we organize his basic needs. So says the Gemara, so Bachayv she'imach zirin, so regarding a creditor where he has to return it day after day, the vessels and the utensils that the borrower needs back, so in addition to misadrin, so isn't it a kavochemer that for sure that when, let's say, you're coming to sell off all those items after 30 days, that you would have to leave him at least his basic needs, for example, like a bed and a bedspread, like those which are said in Erichin regarding those halachas, same thing should apply for kavochemer to Baal Chayv. And that says the Gemara, you're right, seemingly it would be a kavochemer. But Amakra, the Pasuk says in Yikra, v'machu me'erkecha, talks about this halacha, that if he's poor from the valuation, then that's with Allah we learn enough from Hesed Yad that we only evaluate according to what he has and we leave him his basic needs and so forth. Now, the word who tells you, who v'loy Baal Chayv, that it's only him, which is the exclusionary term, that's where we apply this halacha misadrin, but not by a creditor. So although from kavochem you would say yes, but there is excluded from the word who that the halacha misadrin does not apply by Baal Chayv, at least from this kavochem. Now, but says the Gemara, but v'idach, but the other opinion, specifically that of the Tanakama of our Mishnah, who we had proven in the previous staff, holds that you are misogynist of Baal Chayv, because the words of the Tanakama are, im meis, if the debtor dies. So the Mishnah said, the Tanakama said, ein amach l'yeshiv, it doesn't have to return the collateral to the inheritors. Well, then the inference was, but to the credit, to the debtor himself, you always have to return it. Not like Rav Shimon Gamliel, who said that, as we had been alluding to his opinion throughout, that that's where you say ein misadrin is because after 30 days, even to him himself, you don't have to return it. Tanakama holds you always have to return it to him. So obviously he holds that you are misadrin. So what does he do with this word who that seems to be excluding v'loy Baal Chayv, that a Baal Chayv you're not misadrin, and only by Erichin you are. And that says the Gemara, hi, he, this who that's written by Erichin, he expounds that it's coming to teach a different halacha. It's achi yehei b'makusay mitchilas avat seifer. Is that he should have to be in this position of mach, of poor, who always is what's called behaviyasa yehe, who is constancy, past, present, future, means say throughout the whole entire duration, he has to be mach, from the beginning till the end. That is, let's say, he evaluated himself when he was a poor person, but then he became wealthy before the kohen evaluated him, then he does not have this exemption of Hesed Yad. Rather, then he's ultimately going to have to give the Erich of a wealthy person, meaning with that attainment of one who could shell out the total amount of what the Erich value would be. So that's what he learns out from the word who, that even if, let's say, when he had first taken the Erich, he was poor, so similarly he only has to give a poor man, but by the time the coin comes to evaluate and say, how much do you really have? Let's check out your bank accounts. He was wealthy then he has to give already that of, he doesn't have the exemption of Mach, because it wasn't who throughout. Now, the Gemara continues to ask the other way around, regarding one of the other ones. V'yachziru behektish. The halacha should be that by hektish, when the person takes a vow for hektish, that hektish should have to return the avot, this collateral that they're collecting, up until a period of 30 days. Why? Kavochemim v'bachayv. It should be a kavochemim from a creditor. Uma bachayv she mesadim, like we just proved. If regarding a creditor that we do not organize, where again, we're going on that opinion of Shimon Gamliel, which is for 30 days you have to return it. After 30 days, you sell it off, you don't leave him anything. You're not Mesader. So by creditor, you're not Mesader, yet Machzirin, yet for the first 30 days, you have to at least return to him the thing that you took away from him. So Hektish and Mesader, so regarding Hektish, where we pointed out, and that's the opinion that we mentioned before, that we are Mesader, that we do leave him his basic needs, in the Jinshim Machzirin, so isn't it a Kabuchaymer that you should have to return the collateral? How is it that for the first 30 days, Hektish is not a requirement, let's say it was his night pajamas, that they don't have to give it back to him? Why only by Baal Chayv? A Baal Chayv should tell us that if you're misadr by Hektish, for sure you're machzirin from Baal Chayv. Well, you're not misadr, and yet you're machzirin. Says the Gemara, you're right. But Amakra, the Pasuk says in Devarim, V'shachav b'salmasa u'berachekah. This halacha of returning the mashkin, which is taught in the parasha of Bachai by the creditor, says that, so you'll return to him his night garment, and he'll sleep in it, and he'll bless you that you gave him back his pajamas, he has something to sleep in. Now, says the Gemara, Yatza Hekdesh ein tzarach bracha. That excludes Hekdesh, that doesn't need your blessing. Once Hekdesh takes it, it doesn't need a blessing. Hekdesh is something that is baruch, that is blessed. And therefore, once they take it, they don't have to return it. It's only someone or something that, when they return it to the debtor, has the blessing, and they need the blessing. On that, the Gemara says, Wallahi, that's not the case. What, Hekdesh, so to speak, Hashem, doesn't need another person's blessings? But the Rixiv, the Pasuk says in Devarim, it's actually a mitzvah, that you should eat, become satiated, full, and then you bless Hashem. So we see that Hashem, so to speak, at least in regards to us, wants us to bless Him. So why wouldn't that be included then? That Hekdesh should also have the halacha of returning the collateral. And the Rather says, Gemara, you're right. Amakrat from the other thing that the Pasuk says. It says, Ulochati tzedakah. Return the guy's stuff that he needs, and for you it'll be considered as charity. Says the Gemara, Misha tzarach tzedakah. That is only for parties that need charity. Yatzahekdesh ein tzarach tzedakah. That excludes Hekdesh that doesn't need charity, and that's why the halacha of returning the collateral does not apply to Hekdesh. Now the Gemara brings a story that relates to this halacha, that Ashkichi Rabbi Bar Avu el Eliyahu. Rabbi Bar Avu encountered Eliyahu, the koi bebeis hakvar shel ibti kechavim, that was in a cemetery of non-Jews. So Amalei, so he asked him the question that we're discussing here in this sugya. Maushi sajib bebechay, what's halacha when the creditor comes to collect from the borrower? Does he have to leave him his basic needs, what's called kedei chayiv, to organize that for him when he's taking all his stuff to pay up the debt? Amalei, so Eliyahu Hanabi said to him, Gamar micha micha erchin. So there's a gzeres shava, learning out the word of poverty by both erchin and by a loan, which is by erchin we says the halacha of mesadrin. So gabi erchin ksiv v'machu me'erkecha, by erchin it says if he's poor from his evaluation. That if he's going to be poor, which teaches us just like over there you mesadrin, here says Eliyahu you also are mesadrin. So he continued asking different questions as we continue to Amud Beis. Says, Minayin la'orim shlo yitrim. How do we know that a naked person is not allowed to separate truma? T'chsev, Eliyahu Nabi answered him. It says, the pasuk in Devarim, v'leira b'cha ervas davish, not be seen by you the nakedness of something. Now, the interpretation of that pasuk is the word davar could also mean not just thing, but also speech. Meaning, when you're talking about things of holiness, then l'yira b'cha ervas, then you should not have it being seen anything of nakedness. So that teaches you that a person cannot say a blessing when he's naked. Now, moreover, is that someone that's separating truma has to make a bracha. Now, this that he asked him specifically regarding taking off truma, why wouldn't he just say it, and how do you know you can't say a bracha or dvam shebekdusha when you're not dressed accordingly, is because it's a Mishnah Masechtas Trumas that says you're not allowed to separate truma naked, and then he wanted to say, why, what's the problem? So that's really the answer, because since you have to make a bracha, and the bracha, dvam shebekdusha, could only be said when you're dressed accordingly, that's why you can't separate truma when you're naked. Amale. So then he asked him something else. He says, Lav kayin humar? Isn't the master you a kayin? Because there is an opinion that says that Eliyahu is Pinchas, where it says in the Pasuk, Kanli Kenasi, by Eliyahu, so the Pinchas says, Bekana is Kenasi. So we see that same characteristic. So there are those who say that Pinchas was Eliyahu, and no, Pinchas was a Kain. So my time of Koyimar, basically, well, so why are you in the cemetery? Kain's not allowed to become Tami. So Amalei, so Eliyahu answered him, he says, Limasni Mar Taharas, don't you, the master, learn Seder Taharas, one of the six Siddharm of the Tanoic text? The Tanya will end up writing and say the Taharas. That said, Shim ben Yechi Aymar, Kevrein shel evdi kechavim eimetamen. The cemeteries of non-Jews do not transmit tuma to be in the same area that is of oil, which is by leaning over or being leaned over by a dead thing. Meaning, because by tumas oil it says Adam. That is a pasuk b'midbar yotes Adam ki yomis ba'oil. The man will die in the oil in a tent, transmits tuma, so it's only by Adam. Now, by therefore being in the non-Jewish cemetery, where the only problem is not touching it, is that he'll be leaning over, let's say, a dead person. That's not a problem by non-Jews. So it says a pasuk in Yecheskel. It says va'atein tzayni. Shem says to the Jewish people, and you are my sheep, tzayin marisi, the flock of my pasture. Adam atem, you are man, which teaches us atem kareem adam. You, the Jewish people, are called man. Ve'inav tikachavim kareem adam, but the non-Jews are not called man. And therefore, the tumah of oil does not apply by a cemetery of non-Jews. So he says, well, how do you not know this? This is in the Seder Tyrus. So he answered him, he says, Barbola Mitzin. He says, I don't even know I don't know four of the Siddur. That is of Mayid, Nezikin, and Noshim, which those are the halachas that apply even today's times, just like it applied in the times of the Beis HaMikdash. And the fourth one was Kadshim, where it says in the Pasuk, that which the Gemara Menachah says that these are Talmudic scholars who they still involve themselves in halachas of the Avodah in the Beis HaMikdash wherever they are, and Kadosh Baruch Hu considers it as if they're actually bringing karbanis in the Beis HaMikdash, which is one of the reasons why the others say karbanis before Pesukah de Zimra. So he says, even in those four that are applicable, I don't know that all. Beshita Metzina, so you think I'm going to know all the six Adar? Because Ram, first of all, doesn't apply out of Eretz Yisrael. I'm here in Bavel. It's only regarding plantations in Eretz Yisrael, Trumas, Mises, and so to Tyrus doesn't apply because everyone's Tomei over here. So you expect for me to know six, to know Tyrus? I don't even know all four. So Maliva Maisel, Yonam said, why? Why don't you know at least all the four Siddharm that apply to the halachas of where you live? Amalei, so he said to him, Dechikli Milsa, I'm poor, I'm busy with Parnassa, I don't have to provide sustenance, I don't have the frame of mind to be able to learn. So Dabri va'aydel Gan Eden. So he walked with him and he brought him up to Gan Eden. Amalei, so Eliyahu said to him, Pshay klimach, take off your jacket, your cloak. Svei, gather, shekol ma'ani tarfi, take from these leaves here in Gan Eden and take it for you. So Safar shagol, so he gathered and he took it. Now Kiabanafik, when he was leaving, Shama de Kama, he heard what they were saying, Man ka ochel la'alme ka Rabbi Barvu, who consumes his world, like Rabbi Barvu, here he is taking his reward by taking these leaves of a Gan Eden, which are very precious, by using up now his, what we call schusim. So Nafet Shadin, when he heard this, that it's going to come at his expense in the next world, so he threw them out, and he scattered them out. Now, Afel Achi, in spite of that, Asi Leglime, so he brought back his jacket. Sochad glima recha, so his jacket absorbed the scent from the leaves that he had originally put into his garment when he was collecting it and using it as a sack. It got that smell, so it had what's called the reich of Gan Eden, the scent of the Garden of Eden. So Zavni was able to sell his jacket betresa alfei dinrei for 12,000 dinar. And Pagin Lachas Venasa, and he split amongst his sons-in-laws, so that definitely helped with his Parnassa crisis, because he got just even his jacket absorbed that aroma. Now the Gemara continues talking about these halachas of Mashkin, Tarnabon, and the Braisa. The Braisa says as follows: the Pasuk in the Varm says, Vim ish anihu, that if it's a man that's a pauper, Lisishke Bavite, you're not allowed to lay down with his Mashkin that you had taken from him. You can't use his, let's say his blanket you took from him as collateral. You're not allowed to lay down at night sleeping with his blanket on you. Now, the inference is ha'asher, but if he's a wealthy person, the guy that you took the collateral from, then shachet, then you could lay down at night with his security, meaning you can use your as a security blanket. You could take his stuff and use it. Now, the Gemara says, my kama, what is the Braisa saying? What, you think because the borrower is a wealthy person, you're allowed to lay down at night using his blanket? But that would be considered ribbis, because what happens is he's going to be paying back the loan, and additionally, you're going to be utilizing his mashkin for free. That's interest on what you had given him. So Rav Sheshi says, no, hachim, this is what the Brice is saying. Ve'im ish anihu. Now, if he's a man that's poor, le'sishke v'avayte etzlecha, don't lay down with his garment still by you. Rather, like the Pasuk says, hashivenu le'kevay hashemesh, meaning you should return it to him by the sundown. As it says, hashiv tashiv le'sa'avit kevay hashemesh, you should return to him by sundown. Now, ha'asher, but if he's wealthy, shachiv avayte etzlecha, you can lay down with his collateral still by you because he doesn't need it. But of course, you yourself cannot use it. You just can keep it by you as you're laying down, but not to actually use it. Tarabon, another braisa that also is difficult to read that the Gemara explains regarding this topic. Hamal v'eschaver, if someone lends his friend money. So, ein rishay l'mashkin, he's not allowed to go ahead into his house and take a mashkin. It's forbidden for a person that's explicit in the Torah for him to take collateral. Now, but he doesn't have to return the collateral to the borrower. Now, but he violates all these isurim that apply to this halacha, which are hashiv tashiv, that you should return the collateral, that you should not lay down at night still holding his security, and that by sundown you should return to him. You violate all these things. So the Gemara might come up, what is the Tana that this Brice is saying? He says, First of all, why would you not have to return to him? You do have to return to him. Moreover, then right after that, the time of the price, it says, oh, and he violates all these Yisurim, what do you mean? You just said he doesn't have to return it. How are you saying now that you, by not returning, you violate all these Yisurim? So Rav Sheshes, he says, and this is what the time of the price is saying. Someone that gave a loan to his friend, he's not allowed to go ahead and when the guy's not paying, go into his house and take away collateral. Now, and that's what the Bryce is continuing. And if he did take collateral, he does have to, meaning not like the words here, meaning he takes the word enoi, not that you don't have to return to him, but actually that you do have to return to him. And this that it says in the Bryce at the end, that you violate all these Isurim, our Asaf is going on the end of the Bryce, meaning that if you don't return it to him, then you're going to be violating all, meaning you have to return to him. But as we're saying, if you don't, then you'd be violating all these Isurim of the halachas of returning the security. That's one interpretation. Rav Amar, he says that the Tana did not make an error in what it said of what it wanted to say, Chayv Lahagzer, and instead it added, and that's erroneous in the text, to have the word Ina Chayv Lahagzer. That wouldn't be such a mistake in the actual text of the Braisa. Rather, says Rava, it definitely that the words that are supposed to say in the Braisa are as we have it of Ina Chayv Lahagzer. It does not have to return it. But rather, Hachikama. This is what the Tana Braisa is saying. In other words, he's learning that the Tana forgot and skipped certain part of the Braisa of being chayv lahachzer until the part of the Braisa which tells us in the chayv lahachzer, but not that it made it like there's a mistake that it really should say chayv lahachzer like Rav Sheshes said it, instead it said in the chayv lahachzer and you're supposed to take out the word enoi. No, Rava says no, the words in the chayv lahachzer are supposed to be there. It's just missing lines of where it's supposed to say that you are chayv lahachzer. Rather, this is what the Braisa says. Hamaves chaveiroi enoi shel mashkin. As everyone agrees to this part of the Braisa, if someone lends his friend money, he's not allowed to go ahead and take a mashkin. Now, ve'im mishkanoi chayv lahachzalei, these words are missing. If he does take collateral, then he has to give it back to him. Now, that's the qualification, says the Braisa, which these words are also missing. B'med v'mamurim. When did we say this? It's shemishkanoi shaloi b'shas halva asai. It's only if he had taken the mashkin, not at the time of the halva. There's really two times that a person takes a mashkin. One, at the time of the loan, he says, I want to have security. Then there's when the guy doesn't pay up. Then he says, you got to pay up the debt. I said, I have no money. So he goes, okay, I'm taking away your stuff. That's a mashkin. So that's what the Braisa qualifies and says, that this whole halacha, that it's forbidden to take a mashkin, only applies if you're taking the mashkin, shaloi b'shas halva asai. That when you're going to have to give back his mashkin, if you took it not at the time of the loan, meaning, but rather that the courts went and took away because the guy couldn't pay up his debt. These are the words now up until where the words are missing. But if he took the collateral at the time of the loan, meaning that the borrower, when he comes and says, could you lend me $1,000? Here, I'll give you my house, I'll give you my car, I'm going to give you something as collateral, then actually, that's where the words are going on when it says that he does not have to return to him. Then he wouldn't have to return to him the mashkin at the times when he needs it. The reason for that is because the psukim that say this halacha, that you have to return the guy's security, are only by chavela, which is the term of the security, that were taken after the loan. Because actually, when the guy himself, the borrower, comes and brings it at the time of the loan, that's not considered, that's not called a chavela. So therefore, that's where the words in the chavela hachzalai are going on. Now, when the Braisa concludes, v'aivu b'chal Hashem esalalu, and he violates all these violations of not returning the security, that's going aresha, that's going on the beginning of the Braisa. Meaning on the case of when he takes the mashkin, not at the time of the loan, and he doesn't return it, then he violates all these assumed, which are the requirements of returning the security. But again, that's only if it was mishkin shalei b'shas halvasei. But if it's mishkin b'shas halvasei, that's where the words which are supposed to stay in the text of the Braisa of ein achayv lahachzer, then he has no obligation of returning the security every night or day whenever the guy needs it. Similar type of a discussion, again, amending the Braisa on these halachas. Tana Rav Shizvi kamei de Rava. Rav Shizvi taught the following Braisa in front of Rava. Pasuk says in Shemais, Ad boy Hashemesh tishaven eloi. You should return it to him up until the sun sets, which sounds like that in the morning you return to him his mashkin, that it should be in the borrower's hands up until the sun sets, and then you take it back from him at night time. Says the Braisa, Zuk sus laila. This refers to a night garment. Now, later on, the Gemara is going to ask, what do you mean? So if it's a night garment, that's when you should return to him. Why return to him in the morning and then take him back from at night if when does he need it, like pajamas are at night, not during the day? That the Gemara will address. Then there's a pasuk in Devarim that says, Hashav tashav lo yesa ovid kevay ha-shemesh. You should return to him the collateral when the sun sets, which is telling us that you should return it to the bar at nighttime. Says the Braisa, Zuk sus yayim, this refers to a day garment, something that he needs during the day. No. That was the Braisa that Rav Shizvi taught in front of Rabba. So Amalei, so Rabba said to him, wait a second. Tiyamama belel yalamali. Something that's a day thing, why does it need at nighttime? And the night thing, what is it during the day? As we alluded to, that seems to be the opposite that the Bryce is learning from the Pesukim. So Amalei, Rav Shizvi said to Rav, he says, Isamye, should I delete this Bryce from my text of Bryces? Because it seems to be an incorrect Bryce. So Amalei, Rav said to him, no, don't delete it. Because this that the Bryce calls it Ksus Laila and Ksus Yayim is not regarding its utility, that it's something that's used during the day or during the night. Rather, it means to say a garment that's used to take as collateral by the nighttime and a garment that's used to take as a security by the daytime. And this is Hachikam, and this is what the Bryce was saying. The pasuk that says, Ad bay Hashemesh Tishu Venuloi, that up until sunset, you should have it returned to him, which means that when the sun sets, then you take it away from him. Zuk sus yayim. Obviously, that's referring to a day garment. And because that's when he needs it, and therefore you take it back from him at nighttime. Now, but what the pasuk is teaching you, and that's why it calls it in the Braisa Ksus Laila, it means shenitnu lachva balayla. It was given to be taken as collateral at nighttime. In other words, it's regarding the mashkin that it's called Ksus Laila. It's a garment which is taken as a mashkin during the nighttime. And the other pasuk that says Hashav Tashav Laisa Avit Kibay Hashemesh, that you should return to him the collateral when the sun sets. Zuksus Laila, that's obviously a night garment, shenitna lachvel bayem. The reason why he was calling it Ksus Yoim, which means say that you could take it as a security from him during the daytime. Now the Gemara continues on this topic of Mashkin Omer Biyechon, and it says, Mishkinoi umes. If the lender took a Mashkin and the borrower died after the lender had already returned to him the security. Let's say it was his pajamas and he needs it at nighttime. So he returned to him. In the middle of his sleep, the borrower has his pajamas and he dies. Says Rabbi Yechanan, Shamtai, so the lender could go ahead and take it, remove it, Mealgabi Banav, from his children. Let's say his child's already sleeping in his father's pajamas, the lender could go ahead and take it away from him. And the chiddush in that is that we don't consider it other metaltlin, other movable items which are not indebted to creditors like this lender. The reason for that is because, says Rabbi Yechanan, once he already took it as a mashkin, he already acquired it. Now, although the Torah tells us that you have to give it back to him whenever he needs it, but now we already consider it as the lender's, and therefore, even though the bar had it at the time that he died, which now goes to his Yarshim, the lender could take it back from him and use it to pay up the debt that he was owed. Meisvei, the Gemara asks on this halacha of Rabbi Yechanan. From the following braisa, Amar Meir, Meir says, Now, if the halacha is that we take a mashkin, so lama machzirin. So then why do we give it back? The whole point of a mashkin is that you could hold on to it. So why do you ever give it back? To give it back every night or day whenever the borrower needs it. So the Gemara asked from Remeir's question, lama machzirin? What, Remeir is asking, why do we give it back? Rachman al-Mahad, the Torah says to give it back. For l'chati, it's tzedakah, it's charity, it's required, it's Torah's morality. But you have to give it back. So what's Remeir's question? Ella, rather, the Gemara has to amend Remeir's question, that obviously what it means to say is ma'acha shemachzirin, meaning if the fact is that we do give it back to the borrower whenever he needs it by day or night, as we contain on top of Koftes Vav Amad Aleph, so lama chayzne ma'mashkinin. Rather, must be Remeir's question was then why do we go back and take it back again? Where if he's going to have to give it back every single day, so why do you go back and take it as a mashkin? Just, okay, you took it a mashkin, you have to give it back, so why take it back and back and back and back and just leave it by him already? Leave it by the bar. So on that, says Remeir, Shalaytei Shavis Misham Tase. The reason is that when it comes to Shemitah year, it should not cancel that debt that's owed to the lender. Meaning, if he never took a mashkin, the halacha would be that debts are canceled in the Shemitah year. But now that he has, that he takes it back from the bar, now he's holding on to the mashkin, the halacha is whoever lends on the mashkin, the Shemitah year does not cancel that because it's considered that he already has it. It doesn't have to be go and try to collect it from the bar because he has that collateral. So that's one reason why he takes back the mashkin. And the second reason is v'layasim etalon etzabon, that it should not be considered movable items by the children. In other words, that the borrower should not die while he still has the mashkin returned to him, and then it's going to be considered metatlin by his children, and then the lender is not going to be able to go get back that debt and that collateral, so that's why he always takes it back. So that if that guy dies, it'll be by him when he dies. So ask the Gemara Rabbi Yechanan, sounds like from a mayor, time of the hadru mashkinay, that the reason is, since the lender went and took back the mashkin, so at the time that the borrower died, it was in the lender's possession. So that's why it's not going to be considered metatlin by his children, and he'll be able to use it, the lender, for his collection of his debt. But it sounds like, but if he wouldn't take it back, then he wouldn't be able to collect it from the children. That's not like Rabbi Yechon. Rabbi Yechon said that as long as he once took it as a mashkin, even though now he gave it back to the borrower and the borrower died with it, and now it's by his orphans that the lender could go ahead and take it back, we see Rabbi Meir not. Rabbi Meir says the reason why we take it back, even though he had already given it back to the borrower, you take it back again, is so that you could have it at the time that he dies and you'll be able to collect from it. But according to Rabbi Yechon, you don't have to even take it back. So on that, Rav Adar Masni says, to answer Rabbi Yechon, he says, wait a second. V'lav terutza kumatar tzisla, didn't you already amend the braisa? We said the way it was written, the way we had it, it was difficult to understand, which his words were that if we're taking a mashkin, then why do we give it back? We said, that can't be, the Torah says. So we amended the braisa. So that says, Rav Adar Masni, so Torah tzachi, then you could amend it a different way, that it won't be difficult in Rabbi Yechon. Mend it to read like this. V'chime'acha shemachzirin, which... it sounds very similar to the way it was originally mended, which is a question of Rabbi Yechanan, but he mends it a different way. He says, now, since we anyways return it back to the bar, because you could take collateral, but you have to give it back, so then, lama mashkin me'ikara. So the question wasn't, as we had the words before, lama chayznum mashkin. Now, why do we then go take it back again as a mashkin? No. The question was, because according to Rabbi Yechanan, you don't have to take it back, was, so then why do we, in the first place, take it as a mashkin? If you can anyways have to return it, so what does the lender gain by, in the first place, taking it as a mashkin? That's what Rabbi was saying, that because since you initially took it as a mashkin, so now it's shaloite shvis misham tase. That will prevent now the shmitiyah from canceling it. And also, below yasa v'talan etzbun, that it should not become a talan by the guy, by the borrower's children, because the moment that he originally took it as a mashkin, he acquired it. Now when he gives it back to the borrower, even if he never takes it back from him and he dies with it on him, it's still considered as a pukkan, as a deposit by the borrower, meaning the lender owns it, so Shemitah does not cancel it, and he's going to get it even from the Yisayimim. It's just that's why he has to originally take it as a mashkin, even though he's going to give it back to him, and it can actually leave by him, not like the way we thought Rameh was saying, that you have to take it back to be considered that you could take it away from the Yisayimim. Now, Taisa brings from Rabbi Chanan that asks, so if so, according to Rabbi Yechanan, so then why actually do we go ahead and take it back? Why is that the case? The Torah says, give it back to him every single night. Why not? Take it, according to Rabbi Yechanan, the way we are describing it, take it once and leave it by him, because you own it. Now it's a pipe cut by him. So that says Taisa's, A, first of all, so that the borrower cannot deny it, because if you're going to leave by him, he'll just say, deny it. Look at this, I had this for 10 years. What are you saying? You took it once and you give it back to me? So that's first of all. And also, it'll help speed up the process of him to pay up the debt that he owes to the lender. And he'll try to get and borrow money from people, because it's embarrassing every single day. Oh, he needs pajamas. I have to go to the guy or borrowed money from. Can I have my pajamas back? Okay, gives it back to him. And every single day, it's going to happen again and again. That's why. But you're right, according to the basic halacha, according to Rabbi Yechanan, once he took it as a mashkin, he already acquired it. Even if he gave it back to the bar and doesn't take it back from him, the halacha would be that Shemitah would not cancel it, and he would be able to go ahead and collect it, these metatlin, from the assignment.